Brother Tony, can I get you to pass these things out for me, good sir? Don't look at some of the spelling. This has not been proofed by my father. I try not to just bombard with scriptures and messages. I like to stay on point with a basis of scripture, and then we'll venture off a few verses here and there, but I like to really land in one passage. Tonight we're gonna. I've got a lot of scripture, and that's why I printed off a lot of these. All the scriptures that we're gonna be reading tonight. Well, most of them. Do what? No, I wasn't talking about you. No. You do fine. You do fine. This is a lot. This is a lot of verses in this one. See, it's back in front. It's a lot of scriptures. You don't even have this many. Okay. yeah, you might, that's true. I was not trying to say anything, I promise. I'm just saying for myself personally. I wanted to print out some of these, and I think I know at the very beginning I have salvation is only though Jesus Christ, so y'all forgive me. I caught that as I was proofing it after I've already printed them out. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to reprint these just for that one little word. And if you find a couple more, then I don't care. It's all right. Y'all be okay. I printed out right before I got here, right when I got here, a little bit ago, and try around 6. And anyways. Thank you. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Tonight we're going into the greatest connection ever that we've ever known, wherever we ever will be. And we're diving into John chapter 15. And I want us to read this, and we're going to take a dive just for a few minutes into verse 1. But I want to read to verse 8 here again. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Amen. I want us to start with just that first verse. I am the true vine. And today what I want to do is I want to dive into the I am. I want to, as I was praying about how to present this, here's what the Holy Spirit said, present this as if people to people that are brand new Christians. And so I wanted to bring this as simplified as I can tonight, but I want to go through some scriptures about the I am. And so let's just dive right on into the very first one, John chapter 14, verse 6. So salvation is only through the I am. So we get our salvation through the I am. So at the very beginning, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus didn't say that he would show us a way. He said he is the way. He didn't promise to teach us truth. He said he is the truth. Jesus didn't offer us the secrets of life. He said that he is the life. Come on. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Nor is there salvation in any other. Peter didn't merely proclaim Jesus as a way of salvation, but as the only way of salvation. The idea that is no salvation in any other. and that there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved is hard to accept by many, but plainly stated. I have heard it over and over and over again with people saying it. Well, their new Christians will get on. I've seen it. People that are famous will get on and say, "Yes, I'm a Christian now, and I just believe." But there's still so many ways to get to heaven, and it's so false. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. That is the I Am. That is who we are connected to. Is the I Am. So we've got to make that so clear that it is, and it's stated so clear that He is the only way to heaven. The invitation. If you declare with your mouth, Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. All right, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," and listen, "opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Now, there's a lot of arguments. People, I've heard it many times, that say, "Well, the salvation prayer, that's not biblical." What is that? It says the Lord is knocking, Jesus is knocking at our hearts, and those who open the door and lets them in, all right? So in other words, you're opening, God, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And it says, when you confess it, Jesus is Lord. Yeah, God, be my salvation. Jesus, yes, be my salvation. Be my Lord and Savior. Confessing it and openly saying it, there's your invitation, the I Am. Come on. Ephesians 1:7 says that in Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Come on, through Him we get redemption. That's it. Period. There is no other way. He is the I Am. Come on. We ain't going to be here too long, because we're going to get through this pretty fast. I Am brings fulfillment to our lives. He brings fulfillment to our lives. John 6:35 says, and Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Come on. "Who comes to me shall never hunger. And who he believes in me shall never thirst." And in Jesus' answer, he hoped to lift up their eyes from material bread and earthly kingdoms and the spirit and onto the spiritual realities. They needed to put their confidence in Jesus instead of the material in material bread. We get so dependent on this earthly things. And this is what we've been talking about even last Sunday, was we get dependent on these other things to distract and entertain us. When Christ says, "I am everything you possibly need. I'll be your distraction. I will be your everything. I'll be every single thing you need. Turn the TV off. Spend some time with me. I'll fill those voids. You don't have to go to a bottle to fill the void. I'm everything." And that's what he's saying here in this message. So the I Am fills any of those voids. He's our joy. He's our peace. Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Come on. Listen, he started it. He's going to finish it. He's going to be with us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He, not at one point did he walk, as he gave us salvation, did he say, "I think I'm going to let you do this completely on your own. I'm just going to stand back." No, he will never leave us or forsake us. He's always there with us no matter what. And he's going to see his plan to completion. Come on. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Isaiah 40:31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Come on. That is the I Am. Come on. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He is everything we need. He fulfills, and in that scripture that he says, "I am the bread of life. I am everything you could possibly ever need." That is it. You know, the argument, so many times we hear it with the, no, I'm not going to go there. Let me just keep going. Thank you, Lord. He's our everything. He's everything to us. He fulfills. That is the I am. I am is our joy. Come on, when we're down, when we're feeling kind of wore out, even this morning or this evening trying to get in here, a lot of us are feeling kind of physically wore. But, oh, He is the joy that comes in the morning. Come on, He's the joy that fills us up. He's the hope that we live for. Then John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Come on, I want to walk with life. I want people to see the life in me. I want people to see the joy in me. When all kinds of chaos is going on, I want them to see the joy in me. Come on. I want them to be like, why do you have so much peace about what's happening? Because I got God on my side. I'm connected to the vine. I know I've got the I am filling me up every day of my life. John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Come on. That is the I am. And the more we're connecting to the vine, the more we're pulling our nutrients from the vine, the more we're full of that joy. The moment we start trying to pull our joy from other places is the moment we start seeing our joy start dwindling. And that's why the enemy is trying his hardest to pull that and distract us, like we've been talking about Sunday, is the fact that the enemy uses all these things to distract us, to distort us, to pull us away from the vine. He wants our attention away from our source of joy, of fulfillment. Amen. John 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, that's so good. I am the good shepherd. Come on, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Come on, that is exactly what the enemy does. He wants us to distract us, to pull us away. And God is here. I'm here to fulfill you. I'm here to pour out abundantly. Not just a little bit, abundantly. Come on, John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep, or my and mine, and I am known by my own. My sheep know me. Amen. And I'm telling you, the more we are connected to the vine and stay connecting and pulling our nutrients from the vine, the more we understand his voice and hear his voice. I've heard this. The question has been asked to me so many times is, how do you hear God's voice? Because you'll hear me speak, or somebody speak, or Dad will say, the Lord spoke to my heart. Lord spoke to me. You know, I heard his voice. And so people, the curiosity is, how are you hearing God's voice? What do you mean? God speaks to us in so many ways, but I'm telling you, it's through the Word of God. The more we're hearing the Word of God, the more we're hearing His voice. Okay? God speaks to us all kinds of ways. He'll speak to us in dreams. He'll speak to us in the morning time through the Holy Spirit. But the more we're in His Word, the more we're hearing His voice through the Scripture, the more we're going to be tuning in to what He's doing. It's tuning into Him. And the more that's tuning our ears to hear it. And it's all about being connected to that vine, because the more we're connected to the I am, the more we're going to hear the I am. Matthew 18:12. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders. And this is what kind of got my attention when I started reading about the Good Shepherd. This verse here, we've heard this story many times, Matthew 18:12, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than the other 99 that didn't wander away. Verse 14, in the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. I think about this, and I think about sometimes how I've seen it happen. I've been there. You've been there, where we start wondering. We start moving. Something happens, and we start getting distracted in life, and we're starting wandering over here. And we start getting tempted, and we start, our joy jug starts going down. We start getting tempted, and the Holy Spirit just starting to get us and starts tugging. Maybe he'll bring somebody. Maybe he'll do something to get our attention, pull us back in. But he also does the same thing with the lost sheep, doesn't he? He cares about the lost sheep. He goes after those. He goes after us. He goes after every single one of us. Even if we're connected to the vine like this, we are so connected. Even if this is the vine, we're connected. We're here. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Even if we start doing this just a little bit and our mind starts going over, the Holy Spirit just kind of tugs us. Says, it's over here. I've got the word over here for you. I've got the word over here for you. Oh, it's so, because he cares for us. He's the good shepherd. And the final thing is this. I am gave us eternal life. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I want to finish this up on this deal here right on the cross. 2 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 5, 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Gospels is in Matthew. And it's not where Jesus wept. It's not where Jesus cried out and said, take this cup from me. Those are amazing moments. But there's a moment that comes to this climaxing moment in Matthew 27:47. It's the most powerful, most heart-wrenching moment that you can even imagine Jesus experiencing in this very moment. And it says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. I messed up on that. I've looked up trying to pronounce that right. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus became sin. And God can't connect to there. So when in this moment is when Jesus fully became sin. Fully sin. This is where God had to step away. And this is the moment that Jesus bore every weight of sin on his shoulders. This is the moment that for the very first, see, we think about that, we read the verse where Jesus was crying out, take this cup from me, and we automatically assume that it was because he was about to get beat and about to have the crown of thorns on his shoulder. I don't think that was the part where he was worried about. See, I believe it was this very moment that he was going to feel what it felt like to be completely away from the Father. See, no other time where he says, there's no other part where he doesn't call him Father. It's right here he says, my God. So there's a disconnect. He's away from him. Jesus now is alone. There's nothing else there. It's him and the weight of sin. It's officially this moment of complete sin, complete all the weight on his shoulders away from God. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You think about the intensity of that moment, and that is what Jesus did for us. He experienced that complete separation from the Father, that complete independent, complete bearing all the weight, all the sin, everything on his shoulders in that last few minutes, to fulfill the call of God, the purpose. And I think about that separation, and man, that just, he's never known that. There's not been one moment where he's been away from the Father. In that moment, it's just, it's him and the weight of every sin, everything, that the weight of every failure from in the past to the future. And he says, "My God, why have you forsaken?" Whew, that is the I am right there. Sacrificing everything for us. Being that sacrificial lamb. And I don't care how many times we've heard that, the story of the cross. I can tell you it never gets old to read it and dive into it and grab a hold of it. He who knew no sin became sin. So in that moment, completely away from the Father, completely, officially being that sacrificial lamb, that is the I am that we're connected to. That's the source of life. And as we continue to dive into this over the next few weeks, and I encourage you guys to meditate on this. Read through the scriptures again with John 15. And as you're reading your Bible, God, how can I get more connected to you? Show me what I can do more in diving into you, because I want everything you have for me. My prayer is in this journey as we're diving into this is that we do get even more connected than we ever have been in this church. Our body matures and deepens in our relationship, our love relationship, our being intimate with a Father. And it's important that we read these scriptures. Every one of us in this room are seasoned, but most of us are seasoned. But we need to hear these scriptures. We need to hear this word over and over and over and over and over again to keep it on the forefront. Because here's the thing, and here's the reason why it's so important that you hear this. Miss North, it's the reason why you hear this. It's the reason why, Roy, you hear this. It's because here's the thing, the more we're hearing this, the more we can repeat it. The more we can tell others about it. That's why so many times when we're in church and we do the sinner's prayer, even though some we may not have anyone in here, everybody saved in here, it doesn't matter. I'll try to repeat it as often as I possibly can because I want it ingrained in your spirit so that if you're in a moment of praying some for somebody and they want to give their hearts to Christ, man, it's right there. Come on, amen. We hear it. And the more we're connected to it, the more we're hearing it, more we're diving into, the more we're putting it out, and the more we're bearing fruit. And that's the heart of this, heart of our lives, man, is to bear fruit. And so here we are. We're going to dive into talking about the fruit here in the next few weeks and get in it. So, amen. You can end recording. We're done.